This is workshop 5 of the 2014 DGHA convention. Speaker is Beth Critchley. She's from Naturopaws, speaking about the health of your dog guide.
This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
Okay, yes, so from Naturopaws, we have Beth Critchley.
Beth.
Oh, sorry, Beth.
Yeah, Beth. It's going to talk to us about natural therapies for our dog guides. And I'll just hand over the microphone to Beth.
I
think it's
where
you're
trying to wander around. Alright, thank you very much for having me here today. So I'm a natural therapist for dogs, and you probably know what that means. Basically, I am a nutritionist, so I work with dog diets, and I also do herbal and natural remedies with dogs to overcome health issues and also to prevent them. And I'm also a myofunctional therapist. Which means I work muscle therapy, so it's basically like we have a Swedish massage, and that's sort of what I basically do with dogs. So I'll tell you a little bit about each piece, and then I'll leave it open to questions at the end. If there is anything really you want to ask along the way, just put your hand up. I'm happy to stop where I am, and we'll see how we go. So I get a lot of dogs that come to me with a lot of arthritis. That's probably one of the most common conditions I treat. I also get dogs with diabetes. Pancreatitis seems to be becoming more common in all breeds. And also dogs with seizures, skin problems. And we've had a lot of success just by changing diets, giving them herbal remedies. And obviously with the arthritis, the massage has been really effective with it. And it's helped sort of prolong their life and also, you know, ease the pain. I should start as to why I actually came into this work. It was to do with my own dog. I have a border collie, and she was 4 years old at the time, and she was getting really bad skin lesions all over her back. And then she was also having a lot of trouble with her hind legs. She would sort of start, you know, cramping up and limping, and I was quite concerned about it. So I took her to the vet, and they did x-rays, and that confirmed that she actually had hip dysplasia. And she also, they said that she was having allergic reactions to flea bites, or it could have been allergic reactions to grass. So what I was told was that she would have to be on cortisone for the rest of her life, and that I needed to contain her, which I just sort of looked at him and thought, how can I contain a border collie? That just does not happen. That seemed cruel to me. And then also the other option was surgery, which would have cost $5,000 per hip, and that may or may not have worked. So, and then they said, look, basically, you let her keep going, you're probably going to have to put her down by age 8 or 10 because she'll be a cripple by then. So I went home all upset, and I did some research and discovered, you know, from a young age that she was on cortisone for the rest of her life, it would end up affecting her organs and all sorts. So that, you know, concerned me obviously. So what I did was some own research of myself. I thought, well, I do natural therapies for myself and for my, you know, son, so why wouldn't I do it for my dog as well? She's part of the family. So I looked into it and I changed her diet. Her skin cleared up straight away. Never had the problem again. And then I gave her things like glucosamine and fish oils and put all of that in her diet. And I'm happy to say she's now 12 years old, running around, still like a puppy. People can't believe how old she is. I also did a lot of more swimming with her. I stopped the ball sports and things like that, so it wasn't as harsh on her joints. And yeah, she's still running around, and you know, she gets a bit sore in the winter, because obviously she has got the hip dysplasia, so she has got arthritis. But after having such a good turnaround with her years ago, I decided, right, I wanted to do this for everyone else. And so I went and studied it, and that's what I've been doing the last 5 years. And I thoroughly enjoy it.
So with the diets, I base everything on a natural diet. So that's raw meat, raw bones, and also raw veg. So we go back to when, you know, the dogs used to, the wild dogs used to kill in the wild, and they would actually not only just eat the carcass, they would actually eat the stomach content as well of the carcass, which is pulverized vegetables. I also recommend raw eggs. Sardines are really good as well for them, just for a bit of variety. And you find that it is actually quite easy to change them over. A lot easier to change. Yes, sorry?
Could you say what, how often do the eggs and the sardines?
So eggs, you could do 2 raw eggs a week. Sardines, you could do 2 meals a week of them and mix it in with the vegetables. With the raw vegetables, you've got to make sure that they're pulverized, because the fibre cellulose walls are quite hard for dogs to actually digest, so you've got to break that down. So you need to put it in a blender, or if people have juices, if you make your own yourself a juice, the pulp, you can put that in their food as well, just mix it in with raw meat. And I was saying it is quite easy to change them over. I know a lot of my clients have said, oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to change them over, but it's a lot easier than us, you know, changing a person's diet, because a dog can't go to the cupboard themselves, or they can't go to the shop and get a chocolate bar. It's a lot easier for dogs, and plus dogs won't starve. They know they need to eat. It is fairly easy to change over, but you just need to do it gradually, so that their stomachs don't get too upset. Especially with the young dogs, if you have puppies and things, you need to just gradually change them over, especially if you've got them from a breeder and they've been on a certain type of food, their stomachs are a little bit more sensitive. It depends on the actual dog as well. If they've got a certain condition, then I would suggest, if they've got arthritis, then you've got to stay away from nightshade vegetables and things like that, because that can actually irritate it. And then obviously if a dog's got skin conditions, then you'd probably give them a bit more fish oil and things like that to actually, all the essential fatty acids and things like that to help their skin. And also the eggs are really good for dogs with skin problems. So it all depends on each dog, what conditions they've got, what you think. If there's a history of arthritis and things, then you might want to give them a bit of glucosamine and fish oil in their diets as well to prevent it coming on. Unfortunately. Yeah, and some dogs are fine just on dog food. It's like us, you know, people. Some of us have really bad diets and we're fine, and other people are more sensitive, so it's the same with dogs. With the muscle therapy, what we do is we actually look at the gait of the dog, how they're walking, if they're out of balance, and then we work on that. So it is like a deep tissue massage. And we work on all their muscles. We suggest that when they're as puppies, not to walk them for too long at a time, and we also make sure that we don't overfeed them as puppies, because then that just puts way too much stress on their joints, and it also makes them, if they have a really high protein diet and got too much, then they can actually overdevelop their muscles, and then that puts stress on their joints, and it actually affects their whole growth. They need to grow at a very slow, steady rate. The best form of exercise when they're little is to just let them play. Because they have those short bursts of energy, let them play and then let them rest when they're ready. You need to train them as well, obviously. But shorter periods of time is better for them. And then when they get older, it's a lot better. But with the ball sports and things like that, I just, tell people to just be careful, that they're not jumping up and down too much. And also when they're, stopping and then all of a sudden twisting and turning and things like that, that can put them more quite stressed on joints. If you look at people playing netball and things like that, they always end up with knee problems and that, and the joints and things like that. It's the same with dogs. So, yeah, sorry.
Oh, I can't see you.
Yeah.
Oh, I lost my name. Do I need the microphone?
Yeah.
get a microphone and run over to him.
My first time guide dog, he retired last year and he was six. He got arthritis when he was like three. And so we went right through, obviously he did go to that and got conventional treatments, but then we also went and saw our canine physiotherapist and she's into all the natural stuff too. So, he's been on, the Michelle and the Cosmines and the magnesium tablets and the she's given me different ointments for him and he's done, massaging and the swimming and everything. But his condition continued to progress and affect more joints, so he nearly retired. Which was good because once we took the harness off of him, he's actually doing better. Because he's not having to walk, like 5Ks a day. And we did something with him. So I don't really know what else I could do for him to help him really, and I was taught to massage him and everything. But with this new dog, there's nothing wrong with him. But I guess, I've done a bit of massage with him already and he's on leading raw, which is raw meat patties that my dogs actually sell. So I just don't know what else I'm supposed to do because, my first dog, the parents got kicked out of the breeding program. I figured out it was genetic. But I don't know what else I can do to try and protect my future dogs, because I do need a working guide dog and it does need to walk on the pavement next to me and it is going to need to wear a harness. I don't really want it to happen again, and I know it can be genetic, and I know sometimes, to a certain extent, there's not too much you can do, but I just don't know if there's anything else you sort of suggest to try and prevent it or head it off or something.
I think you're on the right track already. You're doing the raw for everything. You're doing the massages. So I think that you're already on the right track of what you can do for him. Probably put some fish oil as well in his food to help his joints. Because all these things certainly can't harm your dog, they're only going to help. So I would suggest that, and the massages would be great for these dogs, especially because they are walking for long periods of time. To learn to massage them would be one of the best gifts that you could give them. Plus, it's more bonding time that you get with them as well. They love it. I've also worked with a lot of anxious dogs, and we do the muscle therapy with them as well, just for the human touch, so that they can learn to trust humans again. Obviously, yours would be a different setting because you have an amazing bond with your dog already. But it does help them as well, and it gives them a bit of relief and, your way to say thank you to them as well.
I'd like to revert back to the raw vegetables. I'm just wondering what kind of raw vegetables, so I know onions are toxic, so would it be just greens or, I know they like carrot, raw carrot, or chewing on them for their teeth, if you peel them. What other raw vegetables would you recommend? And what about fruit?
You're definitely right about the onions. It's definitely toxic. So what I suggest is the greens are the best. So your spinach, broccoli, zucchini, carrot, sweet potato is also really good. I suggest to people, if you're peeling up your own carrots or sweet potatoes and that, you can just use the peel because that's actually got some of the best nutrients in it. So that's one way of saving yourself a bit of money as well, is you just put that in the blender and use that. And the stalks of broccoli and things like that as well, you just throw that in the blender so you're not actually having to buy extra vegetables as such for your dog. If you put it in a blender, they don't know any different. It's just tiny pieces, and you mix that in with the raw meat, and you can just pour egg over it as well to make it a bit more moist, and then
the dog's hungry.
They'll eat it up. I know my dog, once I started doing it, as soon as she hears the blender, she gets excited because she knows her dinner's coming, so she's quite used to it, and she won't even touch dog food in that now. I think she stayed at someone's house once and she just picked up the dog food and put it on the lawn and rolled in it. That's what she was doing.
What sort of raw meat would you recommend?
So raw chicken is the best, especially if you're going to do chicken wings are great. The only thing is with the bigger dogs, especially the Labradors, you have to make sure that they actually chew them and don't just swallow them whole, because if they just swallow them whole, they're not going to digest them properly and they're not actually going to get the calcium out of the bones and so forth. So I suggest turkey necks are great because they're bigger. And that they actually have to chew them, they can't swallow them whole. And also chicken frames you can get. The beautiful thing with the chicken is that they are a younger, they've been killed at a younger age, so the bones are actually softer because they're younger bones.
What do you mean by chicken frames?
You can buy, a chicken frame carcass at the supermarkets. That just, it's, it makes it harder for the dogs to just swallow, so then they actually have to work at it and chew it. It's also a good exercise when they're chewing on bones. Beef bones are okay, as long as they are meaty bones. You don't want to just give them a hard bone. And of course, don't ever give your dog cooked bones, because they actually can splinter and do some damage.
What about lamb bones?
Lamb bones are fine as well. They're a younger animal as well, so they're fine.
This is David from Perth. I have a dog named Fiona. She has this particular behaviour that she often spills on the grass, which is rubbing her butt on the ground. So I suspect that she'll have a blocked anal sac. So what do you suggest that I can keep that flow of the anal sac?
Yep. Okay. So that is the anal sac. I know some people often think it's worms. That was the old myth. Basically, to release anal glands, they have to do hard stalls to actually release it, or they have to get scared. When they get scared, they actually release their anal glands, but it's the hard stalls. So if they're only having, if they're doing soft stalls all the time, I would look at their diet, and then I would amend their diet to make sure that they're doing hard stalls to get rid of it. Unfortunately, some dogs are just like that, and we have had some dogs that had some success. We've changed their diet and they've been fine, but you know, one or two that haven't, we just haven't been able to overcome it, and unfortunately they've had to go and get them released, or some people just live with it. It's just one of those things, unfortunately.
Is that the same when they might have a tendency in the morning, gets up and then tries to scratch his back on the ground, is that
the natural
thing?
Yeah, it's just having a good scratch. As long as he hasn't actually got anything under his coat, if there's a, you know, a lesion or just an irritation, any redness or whatever, then he might actually have an irritation, but other than that, it's just having a good scratch because it feels good. Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay, that's right. I come from Perth and recently discovered that Perth is the hay fever capital of the world. The waffles, the trees up in the hills that blow into the city when they get the easterly winds. So I've got a dog that's had ear infections basically all of his life and been through the traditional medicines and antibiotics, and none of that seems to work. And I'm just wondering whether you've come across anything that might kill off yeast infections, because as you're probably aware, the yeast infection goes up in the ear, the dog scratches, makes it a better environment for the yeast infection, so it gets out of control. I just wondered if you come across anything naturally in regard to that.
Yeah, for sure. So what I do with skin irritations is I actually do often, I'll change their diet, because once you change their diet, they can actually, their immune system becomes stronger, and then that actually helps them fight off infections. There are also natural remedies that you can actually use on their ears to stop the spread of the infection. You can use coconut oil on their skin. That's really, really good to actually clear it up. But to prevent and stop spreading, there are certain products that I use. I use natural animal solutions, which you can get in Perth, and they have an actual ear cleanse that you could use. But other than that, I would also change the diet and look at that to see if you can actually stop it from coming back. Because that's the whole thing I work on. It's not just let's treat what's there, let's treat why it keeps coming back, and trying to prevent it. So does that answer you?
Yeah, it does, thanks.
What about rescue remedy?
It's Penny from Victoria. I just want to sort of say, I had a dog with atopic dermatitis, so she was allergic to everything but grass, but dust mites actually. And they put her on to raw rue and pumpkin, and that worked really well for her. But for me, it wasn't practical because, you know, travelling, it's hard, you know, to carry around raw rue and mash up pumpkin. So, you know, I did find that quite a struggle in terms of being able to feed a raw diet. So now with my current dog, she's on a regular brand of food, and I'll just add some things to it from time to time as a treat. But I'd like to know, what is the effect on stools if you are doing a raw diet? Like, you know, because I mean, that's the other thing is that we're out in places and, you know, like, you don't want to be picking up a lot or, you know.
Normally with a raw diet, they get better. The stools are actually harder and easier to pick up. They're certainly less potent, that's for sure. I know the difference between, certain, I won't say certain brands of food, that I can definitely tell. And we have used a certain brand of food in times when a dog has been constipated to relieve the dog of that.
I was told to do the same because my first dog had anal gland issues and she was told the same thing.
Sorry. I think Anna was next over here.
You were talking about the natural therapy ear cleanse and those sorts of things. Can you buy those online?
Unfortunately, you can't actually buy them online. I can sell them here in Adelaide. You're from Canberra, okay? I can still give them to you and send them over to you. That's another option. Otherwise, I do know someone else in Sydney. They're all made in Victoria, so I actually speak to the other animal naturopath there in Victoria, and she actually makes them. So that's why I use the her products, because I know exactly who has made them. Because, I get to actually speak to her, and she used to be a bit of a mentor, so, yes, I'll have cards and pamphlets to give out afterwards that you're all welcome to have, so I don't know who was next.
So, Penny, it's Nicole, because I'm feeding Huey on Leading Raw, which is a vinyl product, and, his gifts are tiny. Like, literally, my mother's pet Cavalier Pinchas Spaniel does bigger gifts than Huey does. they are really, really firm, hardly smell at all, and, I mean, I don't have any sort of odour issues with him, body odour or anything like that. So, I mean, I had to get creative coming here into state. Fortunately, Joanne got me a slab of wool that I brought to the hotel and I paid for that. So yeah, it can be a real headache, I agree, trying to travel into state with your dog. But, we put Huey on it because I was having toileting issues and harness with him. Because guide dogs actually have all their dogs in their colony on the Leading Raw. And then when I got Huey, I wanted to switch into a dry food. But he just never really settled on any dry food, no matter what one we tried. They're all really good quality, to be fair. And so then he started with toileting issues, and so we put him back on the Leading Raw to try and, like, correct that. There is definitely a benefit to doing it. It is a bit more expensive, and, it can be frustrating when you particularly travel heaps. But, I reckon Huey's gifts would be about less than a quarter of the size that he would have done on normal dry food. A good
Just want to know the difference between raw food as like raw food and bath diet.
So the bath diet, I'm glad you brought that up. So that was created by Dr. Ian Billinghurst, and he's a holistic veterinarian. And the bath diet is a raw diet. So that's all raw meat. He uses a lot of kelp, which is seaweed, and other greens in his, so you can get them in patties and they're Australia-wide, I'm pretty sure. That's a really good diet. That's exactly, if you don't want to make up your own food for your dog, That's definitely an option. And then some other ones out there now as well. It's becoming a little bit more popular. You could only ever used to get the bath. But yeah. So there's more out there. There's also organic versions you can get. You just got to make sure that it is good quality, and they're not just trying to sell you something with lots of other stuff in it. So I think Harry was next.
You mentioned treating dogs with neurological conditions. I'm just interested to know a bit more about that and what success you've had. I'm sort of interested because of our own pet dog at home, with a Cavalier with cerebromyalgia. And I wonder whether a natural diet or something could actually help with the inflammation of the brain and the causes of these.
Definitely, I would change the diet. We've had some dogs that are highly anxious change their diets and they've been great. There's also, I think someone over here said Rescue Remedy.
Yes.
That also can work on dogs. It works on some, not on others. There's also, with use with inflammation, you would probably use something with yucca in it as well, because that's a natural anti-inflammatory. So you use a product that would have that in it. And there are certain ones that aimed at dogs. With that though, there would probably be a lot more sort of stuff. I'm trying to think what else you could actually do. So what behaviours does he present with it?
He does imaginary flies, I think.
Okay.
That's what we'll do. So I would also try, there's a product that's actually for people, but I've used it on dogs quite successfully, and that's got valerian in it and St. John's wort. So it's an anti-anxiety, also an antidepressive medication, but it's quite safe to use on dogs on low doses, just to take that edge off a bit. I've had success. I've had one dog that used to just chase shadows all the time.
Yay!
The funny thing was they actually called it Shadow, and then that's what she actually did. So that helped. But sometimes it can be a bad habit thing, and obviously your dog's got an actual, issue. So, but that is one thing that can help calm down, and also the diet as well can help. So it's just a matter of trialing. I usually change the diet first because I don't like putting a whole heap of products on a dog, because then you don't actually know exactly what's going on, what is working, what isn't. So I put my back to these people. I would change that first, then add something. And also, you want to make. And also, I don't like to say to people, go and buy all this sort of stuff, because it's not economical either. And you want to find something that's going to suit you
economically and also help the dog at the same time. Yeah. Sorry, I think Nadia was next. Hi, Beth. I'm Nadia from Victoria. My question is, what is your take on this? It's becoming almost fashionable to develop all these supplement powders, things like Glide and Sasha's Blend, and there's a new one that's very popular at the moment, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's plant-based as opposed to fish-based. Do you adhere to any of them, and which ones, like, is the fish-based one better than the plant-based one?
Okay, I work mainly with plant-based ones, but at the end of the day, whatever works for your dog, use it. I wouldn't, if there was something, I'm open to trying other things. If something's not working with a certain dog, then I'll try other things. Obviously, as long as they're safe and natural and haven't got any nasty chemicals in them, I'm always, open to try different things. But yeah, there are quite a few different things. Also with the, I meant to say earlier, I think when Greg was saying about the, hay fever season and so forth, especially in Perth. Another good thing is vitamin C. That's a natural antihistamine. So that's always a good thing that we do with dogs that might have skin allergies, and also when they get flared up with, from grasses and things like that, they'll, you know, get allergic reactions. We also use vitamin C for that, so that's great natural antioxidant.
Daily, weekly?
So you just put it in there, you can get in a powder form, which is the one I use, and then you can just put it in their food every day.
Okay.
And you might only need it over the spring season and then they're fine. So I always sort of put a dog on a product, then slowly take them off and see if they're all right without it. But some aren't. So, yeah. Michelle, yeah.
Does he used to do that?
Hmm?
My first dog, he had really bad skin allergies, and it turned out he was allergic to dust mites. And that was one. My friend, when she took him, she put him on her all natural diet, but she used to put the rescue remedy in his ears when they were playing up. But what I noticed when I had him was he was on the dry dog food, but I used to feed him an egg once a week or twice a week. And he would howl in the middle of the night. He would, break wind in the middle of the night and howl the place out. Or I'd give him a marrowless raw bone, and the same thing. I'd say, you're spending the rest of the night outside, pal. And his stools would be quite soft if he had a... Is that because it was also a combination of the dog food, the dry dog food, and the bone or the egg?
Yeah, it could be. I couldn't tell you for sure exactly what it was. Without sort of, if that's the reaction you had after it, then yeah, definitely.
I think he had anal gland, undiagnosed anal gland issues.
Oh, okay. Well, then yeah, I'd be looking at that dog's gut health, and I would be using probiotics as well. That's another thing you can give your dog: natural yogurt. That's a great natural probiotic. The powder's even better. If you can actually get a proper powder one, that's fantastic, but if you don't want to have to do that, then yeah, you can just use natural yogurt.
But it isn't like a grain charcoal type of a product, and
as a result,
that
might even be like that, originally, and it was making a little mess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's lots of different ones out there. I've noticed there's more and more companies coming up with natural products for dogs. So do be careful. I would get professional advice before you do too much. That's one. Yeah. So there are some really good ones. I've got, dogs with irritable bowel and pancreatitis and things like that. I actually give them a human grade probiotic because that's a lot more effective. And then you can sort of overcome the issue a lot quicker. Yeah, and it is a powder, but it's one that you can't use in fluoridated water, so that's no good here in Adelaide. You've actually got to put in spring water instead. But it is the most effective, so that's what I do with severe cases. And it's quite, you get a much quicker turnaround, and then we go to the pet brand after that. But like I said, you've got to get professional advice before you go and do something like that, obviously.
I feed my dog with that advance and it's working fine. My wife has a lot of leftovers. When I say leftovers, a lot of it's raw. But the thing is the amount. Because I know what I have to give them a cup of morning and night. So what is the amount on the ones that be mixed up?
Okay. So you basically give the same amount that you would normal dog food. And what you do is you just keep an eye on their weight. If they look like they're putting on too much weight, then you cut back. If they're not putting on, then you give them a bit more. You can also change the amount of meat and veg ratio. So I would say for a dog, once they're at 3 years old, you give them more vegetables than you would a puppy. So a puppy, you give them 80% meat, 20%. Vegetables, because they do need that extra protein. And again, you just got to keep an eye on their weight. You should be able to feel their back ribs, their lower ribs.
Yeah.
That's a good guide as to whether or not they're overweight.
Yeah. The same question I had was, what is an ear cleanse?
Ear cleanse.
And what do you use for that? Because he has that problem.
Okay. To clear out his ears.
Oh, just
yep.
It's
following So yeah, I'll give you all my business card and everything. So if you've got any further stuff that you need to, you can also just, you know, send me an email or whatever, and I can lead you on to whether or not you're in another state where else you can buy certain products from.
And we still send a hand up.
Yes, correct.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to get to, I was going to ask you a question.
Okay.
We've got a question, a Twitter question that we're putting out to people today. We've got to, because we're going to have to finish up at in a minute or so. Harry's got a next thing, he's got a plane to catch. But the question we've been asking is, if you have one thing to say to Dog God Handlers, what would that be and what would that to you?
Okay. Yeah.
If you haven't got an answer, don't worry.
Yeah. If you can go natural, all better.
Right.
Yeah. And in the diet, the best way to go first, if anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Briefly talking mix, like if you just that, is it all or none? Can you have a combination of your dry food and your raw, and so to meet Fanny's issues and when you're travelling, so it's not all or none, is that possible?
Yeah, that's fine. It's a, you know, it's balanced as well. It's the same as us, you know, we have our treats, so it's the same as them. If, and especially if you've got to travel, if you haven't got access to raw, then yeah, just get the, you know, better brand. I know Black Hawk do a better dry food than others, but yeah.
I'd like to ask a question about your Geneva.
Last one.
I think Michelle had I think Michelle had her hand up before.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
I will take Michelle and then Joyce, and they'll be the last two, and then we'll have to.
Okay,
we'll take those three. Each one's got 22 seconds.
For the question. I'm chatting with my current dog from Guide Dogs Queensland, and they put out BD Raw, and I expected to buy it, but they told me that she couldn't take anything raw. She had their Eukaniva, the highest quality of Eukaniva, and nothing else. And that's all I've been doing for the past 2.5 years. She performed very well. What do you think of the Eukaniva?
It's okay. It's hard to know. Unless I've gone to the factory myself and seen exactly what they put in there. I'm a bit anti all dry food, to be honest, just because it's been through so many processes to get to a dry food state. To me, it's sort of like us eating muesli bars all the time. That's how I sort of equate it, as just because it's been through so many processes to get into that dry, rolled up state. So. I know that is one of the better ones, and Black Hawk is one of the better ones. They don't put as many additives and preservatives in there. But yeah, other than that, and you know, if that's working for your dog, then that's fine. But, yeah.
What's the cost of this black, the dog biscuit? What's the cost of those dog biscuits?
I know the Black Hawk is a lot more, I think. Yeah, I don't know, I've never bought them.
It's similar to. Yeah. The other premium.
It'll be up there. Yeah.
It's a little bit cheaper than raw cattle.
Yeah.
Just because of it.
Really? Okay. Just leave
it. Otherwise,
Watching sleeping dogs here. Hi, Beth. I'm Edna from Melbourne. I have a dog named Fever. He recently had a urinary tract infection. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if there's a natural product on it that people have to prevent it. Her specific gravity in her urine is still not concentrated in the morning. It's improved, but not really. The vets can't find anything wrong with her fingers or anything, but I was wondering whether there's anything I could add to her
Okay, with her urinary tract, I would, again, it would sort of work on her immune system because it is an infection. So most of my clients that come to me, I tell them straight away, change the diet. Because there are products as well that you can use. With her, I would go with the vitamin C, just to boost her immune system up again, and also that would help cleanse her whole system. Well, there is a product that I use, Natural Animal Solution Vitamin C Powder. And it's like a quarter of a scoop a day in their food. So that's sort of what I would start with.
Where are
mine in
Queensland?
There are stockers in Queensland. So if you go to the Natural Animal Solutions website, they do have on their, one of their pages where you can actually get everything from straight away. And if you do have trouble, then yeah, I can always get it for you and send it up.
Okay, yeah. I'd better take Michelle's question and then we'll I'll have to wrap it up.
I like it. All right, how much do you charge for a consultation? I think it was too high. Good question. I charge $60 for a nutrition health consultation and with that you get a whole diet plan with it and products and everything, and then it's also $60 for a massage. And that goes for about an hour and a half because I will actually assess their gait and so forth, and then the massage, and then also sit down with you and go through, you know, what I've come across. Yeah, so $60, which usually goes for about an hour or just over. If you get a massage and a nutrition, then it's not $120, it's $100. And I also do hydrobathing for $30 a dog as well.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering what your qualifications are.
So I'm a nutritionist, and am I a functional therapist, and herbologist as well. So it's all through the National College of Traditional Medicine. They're based in Melbourne, and they do the studies for both dogs and people as well.
Okay.
Yep. I think that is.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'll have to take the microphone off you.
Well, thank you very much for having me here today, and I hope thanks
very much, Ben. Please don't hang around if you like. There's a great talk coming up next.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to